18-year-old Haider Akbar kept an unusual audio diary last summer. Akbar grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. He listens to U2, shops at Banana Republic, but the Akbar family is from Afghanistan, where Haider's father had been politically active. After the Taliban fell, Haider's father, Saeed Fazl Akbar, returned to Afghanistan as governor of Kunar province. Haider went to visit him and took along a tape recorder. Because of the nature of his father's new job, Haider witnessed events few journalists could. He recorded U.S. forces as they tried to get local Afghans to obey the new government. He saw rocket attacks and ambushes, and he watched American soldiers interrogate a suspected terrorist after 3 rockets were fired at U.S. forces in Kunar. Soldiers wanted to bring in a suspect named Abdul Wali for questioning, by force if necessary. Here's an excerpt from Haider Akbar's audio diary.
Abdul Wali's brother got in contact with my dad, and they were really worried. They've heard all kinds of horror stories about what the Americans do. And, you know, my dad talked to them and said, you know, don't worry.
Abdul Wali had been on the Americans and the coalition forces most wanted list for cooperating with terrorists or for being a terrorist himself. American forces were ready to use military force to capture this person. And I told him to please hold on and let me try and get a hold of him myself. And since this man trusted me and since they trusted our family name, the man did arrive to Kunar and did turn himself in to us. He claimed his innocence, but he was incredibly fearful of what the Americans might do to him. And since he was so fearful, I sent you along to prove to him that there is no trouble and that I'll send my own son with you as a sign of trust.
So I took him to the Americans, and like, they're asking him where he was 14 days ago on the night of the 3 rockets. And this guy, like, they don't have calendars, you know? If somebody asked you where you were 14 days ago, you're not, especially if you didn't do anything, like, I'm not going to be able to tell. And you're like, oh no, you fired 3 rockets. How could you not know the night 3 rockets fired where you were? And like, we already think you're lying. And your situation is getting worse by the minute. It was hard to watch. And then as I told him, I'm like, I have one last thing to say to him. I just put my hand on his shoulder and I let him know. Just say the truth. Nothing is going to happen if you just say the truth. And he was absolutely petrified and he could barely whisper the okay. And that was like my last words to him, and then I walked out. I just hope everything goes okay, but in due time, we'll find out. Probably in about 3 days. I'm going to go to the American base to check up on him. Today, it's been a hectic day to say the least. Around, I'd say, 5:30 or 6, a translator from the Americans come over and say that Steve wants to talk, and he wants to talk now, and he was wondering if you could come to the base. So we arrived there, and we're waiting in the chair, me and my dad, and Steve and Dave arrive, they come in, exchange greetings, they sit down, and then they go, unfortunately, we have some bad news. So I'm thinking, oh man, what happened? You know, is Abdul Wali not cooperating? Or did he admit to having a part in missile attacks? What happened? And they're like, unfortunately, Abdul Wali passed away. My jaw dropped. It's like, oh my God. And my dad, I was like, what? They said at 3:30, 4. He just collapsed, and they tried to make him stand again, and he stood for a second, but then he fell again. And then they did the whole routine with the CPR, and they said no expenses were held, and just like they would have treated an American life. And then we went into like the torture and anything like that, and nothing like that was done. He was being treated right and given like power bars and stuff like that. Who'd put rocks in his mouth, but then they thought maybe because he's used to chewing tobacco. and yeah, tried to, you know, with like the shackles that had binded his feet together, tried to break those, and he hit his head against the wall a couple of times trying to work with that. And just for our sake, they wanted us to see the body, to make sure nothing had happened to it. So we go to see his body. His body was kept in his cell, or whatever it was. And the cell was pretty bad condition, I have to be honest. I don't think it would be acceptable by American standards. It was a small, like, hut kind of thing, like made of mud. And it had like number 5 on it. And inside lay him with a sheet over his body. It was extremely hot and damp. And my dad took the towel off his face. One of his eyes was like open, the other was closed. No marks on him. I touched his face. I touched his like chest. And he was dead. And it's like, this is extremely good propaganda for like Al-Qaeda, Taliban. Hey guys, don't go to Americans. Don't listen to Saif al-Akbar. You'll end up like Abdul Wali. Remember Abdul Wali? You're gonna die like him if you go to him. So bad for us, but so good for the bad guys. That's the Americans call them, the bad guys. But aside from politics, it just feels so personal for me. This guy was saying bye to me, like, make sure nothing happens to me. Like, it's the day before yesterday, and, you know, and it's hard not to feel responsible. Poor guy was only 28. He was just so scared. How did he die? That wasn't how it was supposed to happen.
Haider Akbar's audio diaries will be broadcast this weekend on most public radio stations on the program This American Life. His diaries were produced by Susan Burton with funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.